Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer. Welcome too to those who are joining us at home on the live stream and those who are joining us on the dial-up service. It's lovely to have everybody with us today. It's also lovely today to be welcoming back our socially distanced choir who will be leading us in our singing. As yet, the guidelines are that the congregation doesn't sing just yet, but we are glad to have a socially distanced choir to lead us in our singing today, and lovely to have them around us today. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about an occasion where Jesus healed someone. And we're going to be thinking about the particular hope that his disciples found in his risen power. Some notices for the week that is to come. On Tuesday evening at 7:30, our Easter General Vestry will take place here in church. The Easter General Vestry is the annual business meeting of the church. There'll be a presentation of the accounts, and there'll be a report from myself about the activities of the past year, and a new select vestry will be elected to serve for the coming year. And all are welcome. It's at 7:30 here in the church on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course continues, and there is still time to register if people would like to be part of that course, which explores the meaning of life over about 11 weeks. And the details will be on the screen after the announcements. On Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting will be resuming at 7:00, and that takes place again over Zoom. And if people would like to participate, just send an email to that Zoom email address, and we will be able to connect you with the invitation to the call. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 11:00 and at 7:00. And as we begin our worship today, the choir are going to lead us in the singing of our first hymn. The words will appear above you. The God of Abraham, praise.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today's service is Psalm 4. It's a psalm that speaks of the importance of turning to the Lord, and we're going to say the psalm together. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You set me at liberty when I was in trouble. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you nobles dishonor my glory? How long will you love vain things and seek after falsehood? But know that the Lord has shown me his marvelous kindness. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their corn and wine and oil increase. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for it is you, Lord, only, who makes me dwell in safety. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we respond to that reading in our hearts as the choir lead us by singing the hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Our New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Here ends our New Testament reading. One of the big struggles of the past year, and I think it continues even to this day, is that sense that many of us experience anxiety through the pandemic, through all the things that are so constantly changing. And over the past year, the diocese have made a number of videos or films where people have shared about their favorite Bible verse and why. And so I thought today's Bible verse, which we're going to see in a moment, was one that was particularly appropriate, as we hear the minister of Cumber sharing about his favorite Bible verse.
Hello, my name's Sam. I'm the minister in St. Mary's Parish in Cumber. Thanks for joining me out here taking my exercise during the COVID-19 lockdown. Exercise, something that's really important in this time, especially for our mental health, especially to clear our heads and help us deal with anxiety. I'd like to share a quick story from my past. When I was 21 years of age, I fell off my bicycle. I got brain damage, and the next day I couldn't speak properly. My ability to concentrate really, really went down. It took a couple of years to recover. It was at this stage really where if I was trying to go to church and I managed to make it with 10 minutes still to go, I was doing well. And one of the Bible passages, some of the verses that really changed my life in that time and continue to change my life, comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verses 6 and 7. This is what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's a passage that I cling to and still do when things get difficult, when it's like the walls are falling in and anything you try to build just breaks down. The question for you and for me is it true? Is it true that the one who created all of this really wants us to bring anything that makes us anxious to him in prayer? And is it true that his promise that his peace, which goes beyond all understanding, will subsequently guard our hearts and minds? Maybe it's nonsense, but I find it invaluable over the last 10 years or so to rely on that passage. So maybe today, as you listen, you're just feeling really anxious. Things are utterly overwhelming. Well, why don't you join with me in prayer now, and we'll bring those anxious thoughts to God. Let's pray. Lord, I am anxious about so many things. Lord, you tell us not to be anxious about anything. So I name them in my heart now. God, I want to thank you as well for the homes that I have, the home that I have, for the family that I have, for everything you give me. And now, Lord, I want to ask for that peace. Lord, I trust in Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, I ask for peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me. God bless.
So as we hear Sam share about his faith in the God who brings peace, let's affirm our faith in that same God as we share together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer today is a prayer that asks for that awareness or consciousness of the presence of the risen Lord with us. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. as we prepare to hear from God's word, the choir are going to sing for us the hymn, Lord, Be Thy Word My Rule. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many years ago, when I was in my teens, my school headmaster at the time thought it would be a good idea to send me, along with a few others, to what was called a vocations weekend. And it was a weekend that was held in the Church of Ireland Theological College in Dublin, and it was designed to help those who might be thinking about the ordained ministry. Now, to be honest, I hadn't ever really given a great deal of thought to the ordained ministry. But the idea of getting out of my boarding school in the Irish Midlands for the weekend and getting up to the Big Smoke in Dublin was a very exciting prospect for me. So with a few of my colleagues, we had a few hours in the city centre before eventually making our way out to Churchtown on the bus, which is the suburb where the Theological College is located. And it was very interesting at that time, I remember, to meet with all these other young people from right across Ireland, north and south, east and west, to hear about different aspects of the life of an ordained clergy person. And one of the talks over the weekend, which had a big impact on me, and it has remained with me well over 30 years later, was a talk that was given by a young woman who is now the rector of Booterstown and Mount Merion in Dublin. And at the time she gave this talk, she was a young curate, and she described her journey from working in the bank in Cork to this new life that she was now living as a curate in Dublin. And I remember very vividly as she described the variety of her working days, from leading school assemblies to visiting elderly people in nursing homes, from preparing talks and sermons to helping couples to prepare for weddings and for the baptism of their children. She also described, I remember, trying to work with young people in youth groups, trying to share her faith with them. And she talked about the challenges of sometimes visiting people who were very ill in hospital, and then the sadness too of leading funeral services for people that she had grown to love dearly. And what I admired hugely about her was her enthusiasm for all aspects of what she did. And I remember after her talk, my own diocesan bishop came up to ask me how I had been finding the weekend thus far. And he asked me if I thought I could ever see myself entering this kind of life. And I remember telling him that while I found the talks very interesting, I didn't really think it was for me. And when he inquired, why not? I told him that I was afraid. I told him I was afraid I might cry at the funerals and I'd be no good to anyone. Now, my bishop at the time was and continues to be a very kind man. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said to me, you know, Jono, if that's the only thing that's holding you back, let me tell you that I sometimes still do. And he said, I've been doing funerals for quite a long time. I wonder what you would be afraid of if you thought about the ordained ministry. Maybe it would be preaching the sermons. I always tell people that that's why ecclesiastical architects made pulpits the way that they did. Pulpits are designed in such a way that people cannot see your knees knocking, as you have the astonishing privilege of trying to understand and share God's word with those who are listening and apply it to their daily lives as well as your own. And if there was one lesson that I took away from this morning's New Testament reading, it was a warning, really. And it was a warning to be alert to the danger of personality-led churches. To give a little bit of background to that reading that we heard, in the very first verse, we saw a beggar who had just been healed in the preceding verses, clinging on to Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples. And we see in that opening verse that big crowds have gathered. And these crowds have gathered because they heard all about this man who had been crippled from birth and who had spent all his days begging at the temple gate, being healed and restored. And in the preceding verses, after he had been healed, this man was so thrilled and he was so excited and he was so filled with joy at what had happened that he was jumping around and he was praising God. And it truly was a wonderful thing that Peter had been enabled to do, to bring healing, to bring God's healing into his life. And as the crowds grew, we might well expect Peter to be basking in their admiration and feeling really pretty pleased with himself. But instead, what we see is someone who wants to deflect attention away from himself and onto Jesus, who was the healer. And you can imagine just how easy it would have been for Peter to grow a really big following for himself with this power to heal. And if he had been living in the age in which we live, in the age of social media, just imagine the number of followers and subscribers that he would have if he was able to lay his hands on people and heal them in the way that he did with this man who had been crippled all his life and had had to beg every day to eke out a living at the gate of the temple. But what Peter actually points out in these verses really very strongly is that even the very idea that he or John had been able to make this man walk by their own power or godliness was totally absurd. He said in verse 16, "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to this man, as you can all see." And to me, one of the really powerful things about the early church is that they were so focused on Jesus in their preaching. And I think we really must draw inspiration from that. But Peter goes on in these verses to point out some pretty uncomfortable home truths to his Jewish audience, as he speaks very directly to them of how they were responsible for putting Jesus to death. He said, "You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, even though he had decided to let him go. And he said, you asked that a murderer would be released to you instead, even though Jesus had done nothing wrong." And he then goes on to point out the power of Jesus' resurrection. He said, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." You see, the authorities thought that they had got rid of Jesus by sentencing him and then putting him to death on a cross. But as we all know, in the light of Easter, the grave could not hold Jesus. And now these very same authorities were even more frightened by his power, by the fact that the grave could not hold him, and that he had risen from the dead. And just as Peter was speaking in a very challenging way to the Jewish audience, he might well be speaking to you and to me today. I wonder, have we, like that Jewish audience, ever disowned Jesus when we were in company? Or have we become bored by his message or failed to allow it to impact our lives so that it has descended into a shameful irrelevance? Or as a church, have we resigned ourselves somehow to just limping along and trying to survive rather than actually allowing Jesus' risen power to transform us and to bring new life to ourselves and to others? Maybe that is you or me, or maybe indeed it's all of us here today. And we suddenly realize it as we're listening to this, and we wonder to ourselves, what can be done? Is there any way back for someone like me? Or are we just a lost cause? Well, Peter gives us the answer in the last verse of our reading when he says, "Repent." In other words, turn your posture back towards God. Welcome him into your life. Receive him into your heart. Say sorry for the wrong things that you've done. Whatever terminology or phrasing you want to use to describe that act of surrendering your life afresh to God. And if you take that step, Peter says, if you take that step, your sins will be wiped out and times of refreshing will come. They will come from the Lord. And so may that be our collective experience today and going into the future. Because it's not at all about you or me or anyone, our church community as a whole. It's not about any of us building a reputation for healing. But what it's about is acknowledging the one who has this power, even Jesus, our Lord. And it's about acknowledging all that he has done for us through his death and his resurrection, and also about that power that he has made available to us in our weakness and our dependence upon him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are reminded today that your name is to be honored and hallowed. We're reminded today that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And so we look to you to bring forgiveness, healing, and direction into our lives and into our church. We turn back to say sorry for our sins and omissions, but also to receive your infilling and your indwelling in our lives. So today we ask very simply that you would bless our church as we try to engage and to share the faith in our local community with all ages and all kinds of people. We pray that you'd help us to be a place that loves and cares for each other and honors you in all things. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world, and we continue to pray today for international cooperation in the rolling out of the vaccination program. We pray for essential supplies of effective vaccine to reach the poorest and most vulnerable countries of the world. We pray that you would give wisdom and cohesion to the collective international response as we seek to make the world safe and to build the world's economy again. We also continue to pray today for peace in the United States as racial tensions are causing so much fear and division. We want to pray for government and community leaders and all people of influence to speak and to lead for peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember especially today all who live with long-term illness or disability, as we hear this account today of the man who was healed after being crippled from birth. So today we want to remember especially all who live with conditions like MS or Parkinson's or MND and cancer. We also want to pray for those battling COVID-19 at home or in hospital. And we pray that your healing power would be at work in our world today. And we ask that you would give strength, courage, and grace to all who suffer from long-term illness and their families. We also want to pray today for all who have been bereaved, as we continue to remember in our prayers the Queen and the royal family following the funeral of Prince Philip yesterday. We also pray today for the Barr family circle, and we pray for the family of the Reverend John Anderson, the rector of Billy and Derry Keegan, who died from COVID-19 yesterday. But in the quietness, let's just take a moment to bring those particularly in our hearts and on our minds into God's healing presence. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now the choir are going to lead us as they sing the hymn, Christ is the World's True Light.
Thank you. we bow our heads for God's blessing. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today, whether you're here in the building or whether you are at home. And as our service draws to a close, we are reminded of the power of the name of Jesus to transform and to bring hope and healing. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds, our closing hymn.